This is Metalix with your host, B-Lo.
Metalix on Adobe Howell, B-Lo with you. And my guest tonight, he's actually been a part of the hardcore scene for a very long time. He was formerly in the band Terror. And then in the mid-2000s there, like 2005 or so, the first full-length from this band came out called California. I have with me Carl from the band First Blood, who is preparing to release their first album in 7 years. It's called Rules, and it comes out February 10th. Carl, calling in on Skype. Thank you for your time today, Mr. Carl from the band First Blood.
All right. Thanks for having me, man. It's good to be here.
Well, we're excited about this album. I got a really cool bio. It's all about the rules. Rules are everywhere, right?
Oh, man. Too many.
Yeah.
Too many rules, my friend.
So let's do this. I mean, First Blood, this is the first album in 7 years. But let's talk about the album first and then kind of talk about what First Blood has been up to since Silence's Betrayal.
Sounds good. Let's do it, my friend.
All right. So so the album is just called Rules, or do we call it First Blood Rules?
Hey, you can call it whatever you want, man. But yeah, I don't know. I hope kids think it rules for sure. You know, but going with the
does.
Theme of the last record, we try to like stick with a concept and, you know, and roll with it for the entire record. So in case anybody hasn't noticed, you know, as soon as you read the lyrics from the first song all the way up to the very end, it's about rules. Whether you love them or you hate them, we got to deal with them, you know. But I won't spill too many of the beans, but I hope by the end of listening to it, whether it be you or anyone else out there who picks it up, I hope they can sit back and be like, man, that record rules. You know, that's what it all boils down to in the end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. And it definitely does. I've had a chance to hear it myself. We've even played a track or two already on Metalix for the fans here. Now, the lyrics for First Blood have always been very political or very socially aware, and this album is no deviation from that. But do you think, since Silence's Betrayal, that perhaps you are, I don't know, kind of it looking into different things? You have like different concerns now. I know one thing for you personally is now you have a son.
That changed things a lot for me. Yeah, that's for sure.
Does that reflect in your songwriting at all on Rules?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it was more like a frame of mind how it affected me this whole process, because you know, I was in a dark spot on the last record, you know, just angry at everything, and so I just wanted to write a record about, you know, all the stuff going on in the world. It was depressing stuff, you know, and it kind of like consumed me, so I just had to put it on a record and get it off my chest and get it out of there. But aside from the fact that it takes me forever just to write anything, let alone like get in the studio and record, you know, things changed quite a bit since then, especially in my, you know, my personal life. You know, I moved away from San Francisco where we started the band. I have a son now, and, you know, all that stuff that I used to look back on that was, you know, super dark and depressing and frustrating. You know, I see this, you know, this cool little kid running around, and he has no idea about any of that stuff yet. And he just appreciates, you know, so much cool stuff going on around him. You know, just, you know, just seeing snow for the first time, he just wants to run into it and just, you know, smash his body through a little snow hill. You know, it's like that kind of, you know, it makes me think back. It's, man, like, what am I worrying about with all this stuff? So, you know, going from past records to this one, yeah, this takes a much more, like, personal approach to, you know, the lyrics and maybe going straight to the point with the music, trying to just, you know, hit it hard right away. But it's hard to explain, man. I think when kids hear it, they'll just see it's like, all right, it's the same. He's still down the same alley with the lyrics. You know, I can't avoid that. You know, I can't write lyrics about who knows what else. You know, I do tend to stick on a more socially aware political route, you know, aside from a few songs in the beginning where there was just kind of jokes, First Blood movie you know, just being tough guy stuff in the mosh pit. You know, we're still down this political route, and I don't need to keep rambling about it, but I think when kids hear it, they'll be like, oh, all right, okay, he's still talking about stuff, you know, talking about some rules.
Yeah, well, Carl, we brought you on the show so that you could have a chance to ramble about political stuff and about the rules. The new First Blood album, Rules, February 10th, B-Lo on Metalix, Adobe Howell. Let's do this. Let's check out a couple songs and then come back and talk a little bit more about this album, what you've been up to, what First Blood has been up to for the past 7 years or so. And we'll just we'll start right from the top here on the album Rules. So what are we going to hear?
I don't know. What do you got? You got the whole record already?
Yeah, I do. Let me see here. All right. First track. The first one is Fuck the Rules. And then we'll probably hear These Are the Rules, and then Rules Meant to be Broken. I mean,
all right, man.
You said you didn't want to spill too many beans. I'm already giving out the track list here, but that's because you should get excited about this album. I mean, it rules. It's First Blood on Metalix, Adobe Howell. Metalix, Adobe Howell, you are listening to new music from First Blood. The album Rules out February 10th, and I have Carl, the vocalist, on with me tonight. He is Skyping in live from, well, live. We're recorded. But he's coming at me from Sweden in Stockholm, right?
That's right.
Stockholm. How is it out there?
It's frozen, man. It's a dark time of year. The sun's up for like 3 hours a day. You're just frozen the rest of it. You know, it's great. It's like being stranded up in a mountain in Colorado. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, the mountains aren't too far away from where we're at here, you know, just south of Denver in the tech center. But we're looking forward to the possibility that we get to see First Blood maybe sometime in 2017. I know that you have a tour coming up in Europe. Anything planned for the U.S.?
You know, we're talking about stuff coming up. You know, I think once the record drops on February 10th, we'll get some, we'll get some whispers about some tours and stuff like that. It's really hard to tour. I mean, not tour, but the planned stuff. Like, we've been trying to get back to the U.S., back to Denver, back to the West Coast for for years. But, you know, just tour plans have fallen through. Hopefully when the record drops and there's some press about it and a little bit of buzz, we can get, you know, something set up ASAP. I want to get back to the States. Denver shows have been always pretty sick. I loved it there. So we're looking forward to be back.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you. I'm pretty sure that actually I saw First Blood in Colorado Springs once too at the Black Sheep. But we're getting way Denver specific for a worldwide audience here. How did you end up in Stockholm, Carl?
Oh, weird story. You know, we've been traveling with the band for a while, and I've taken a liking to Europe, you know, ever since the first time I'd been there, back in terror days, I guess. You know, I like the vibe was cool. It was a little bit different from the States, and being around the States and touring for a bunch, you know, you see a lot of, you know, I lived on the East Coast when I grew up, been out on the West Coast for a while, drove many a highways all throughout the U.S. And Europe was just like a new thing for me, man. It was a different vibe, and I just I gravitated towards it. You know, eventually, I met a girl about 6-7 years ago. Moved to Stockholm. You know, we got married, we had a kid, and it gave me, you know, just seeing like a little guy running around who calls you Papa. You know, it's I said I'm staying here. You know, it got me here, and it's keeping me here now, and I'm just fortunate enough to be able to keep doing the band, being from a spot that's kind of separated from most of the other places we tour. But I'm here for now. Who knows? I'll bring my son. His name is Wolfgang. We'll bring him out on the road. So it doesn't matter where you live as long as you're surrounded by some good people. So, you know, we'll be around. We're just here for now. So that's where we are, Stockholm, Sweden, up in the cold. Looking forward to getting out of here on tour.
Yeah, I don't think California has weather quite like that in Stockholm. Ugh.
But it's terrible weather.
Yeah, nah. But it's still the summer's pretty nice though in Sweden though. Yeah, right.
That's right. The sun never goes down. it's up all day and it's down for maybe 3 hours at night. Yeah. And next thing you know, it's 3 in the morning and it's looks like 9 in the morning everywhere else in the world. It's crazy.
How old is Wolfgang?
Wolfgang just turned 5 years old and it's a good time. It's a good year. First couple of years were rough because, you know, he can't talk. He can't explain what's bothering him. And it's, you know, he's just a little guy running around, crawling around, but he's great now. You know, he knows what Papa's up to, especially when the music comes on, he's like, that's my dad's band, you know? And if you just listen to the songs a couple minutes ago, that's Wolfgang starting out everything at the beginning, just putting them in the studio, having them yell. And that's what came out. So he's pretty pumped. So he's part of Rules from the very beginning.
You know that
literally.
Yeah, definitely, man. That reminds me of H2O. They have an album where the singer's son is on the beginning of a few tracks. So it kind of took me to that as well. So that's a really cool thing for you. And you mentioned earlier that it's made you a little less cynical, I guess, about the state of the world and social issues, political things. But it still comes out in your lyrics that feeling is still there. And that's actually interesting that you say that because, you know, in the past, well, just like 4 months here in the U.S., the political situation has really taken an interesting turn, to say the least. It seems like a not first blood friendly turn here. We're about to swear in Donald Trump as the next president of the United States. So maybe you actually got to Sweden at the right time. I don't know. What's your thought on that?
Oh man, I don't know where to start, but yeah, it's been a circus. It's cynical, not as much being cynical now. I'd like to say and hope that would be true. Maybe I'm still cynical about a lot of things, you know, especially, you know, it's hard to look at the news and not be pissed off at stuff still. But I definitely do have a different approach, I guess, vocally and publicly about things that are going on. You know, I mean, I left right after Obama came in. And there's always people complaining about that, people loving it, people hating it. Now, you know, being out here just a few months ago, you know, we had the elections in full swing. And, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in Long Island in New York, and I don't think I ever heard the word, you know, Sweden mentioned in any of my classes in high school, junior, you know, nothing ever mentioned once. You know, I couldn't find it on a map probably when I was 12 years old, if you asked me. I couldn't speak, you know, other than the Muppets, the Swedish chef. I don't think I would have known what one Swedish word would have sounded like. But here we are, you know, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, there were people literally all around Sweden, Stockholm, where I'm living, especially there's people saying, are you staying up overnight to watch the election results? I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, there was people, I mean, it consumed everyone everywhere. You know, here we are in a small country, Sweden. People stayed up all night to see if Donald Trump would become the most, you know, win the popularity contest over Hillary. And apparently he didn't, but still won anyway. I don't know. But if this was happening right before our last record came out, Silence is Betrayal, man, of course. Yeah, I had a different frame of mind. I probably would have wrote 10 songs about, you know, just angry politics and, you know, condemning everything about it. But then I got that off my chest. Now that this thing happened and, you know, and this guy is going to be sworn in pretty soon, it's like I look at it from like an outsider now. Like I'm no longer like vested in the whole political process about it. Like 10 years ago or right before we were writing and putting out the last record, you know, I'd stop everyone in the street, be like, hey, do you see what happened? You know what's going on? You know, now I see it as like there's so many people talking about it that this whole process has been dividing people more than anything else I've seen in years. You know, you TV shows, radio, the internet, kids talking at school, kids talking on the street, the subways, taxi cabs, buses. They're divided about this. Like, oh, could you believe it happened this? Oh, screw you if you don't support him this. Oh, these guys going to save us. No, you're an idiot. It's just, man, it's it's frightening, man. It's become this huge dividing force now. And for me, it's like I could try to talk to people and stir the pot in one direction, get people to jump onto one side of the fence or the other, or I could see it for what it is and try not to keep people so divided about what's going on right now, man. It's crazy, man. But that's the rules, man. That's politics. That's life, you know? See what I did there, buddy?
You brought it back around to the rules.
Oh, see, my God.
So
yeah,
many great tie-ins. But, yeah, you know, Sweden, you kind of mentioned, like, you're talking about how people reacted to our election in Sweden. And Sweden has a reputation, at least, like, on the online community, that, like, the country is much more progressive, I suppose, to use a kind of a cliched word, than the U.S. They have a lot more social policy, and there is it's just like an overall almost socialistic way of running government there. And have you noticed, like, just kind of a different mindset from people in Sweden, just like with regard to their outlook on the world, than in the U.S.?
I'm trying to think of how I can explain this without going on like a huge marathon rant. But in the shortest way possible, yeah, of course I notice it. Like, you know, a colleague of mine at work, we were talking one day, and he's like, man, I just can't believe, like, man, if I get hurt, I just go to the hospital and I get taken care of and I don't have to sell my house to do it. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And then I think about it, why, like, so many people I knew in the States, including myself growing up, I was, you know, going to the hospital. I'm like, oh man, it'd be like, all right, there you go. You broke your leg. You got to sell your car and, you know, take out a mortgage on your house just to pay for the, you know, a cast on your ankle. You know, it's like that, the whole mindset of, like, of universal health care and all this Obamacare and this and that. And it's crazy. But when it talks about just like basic health care, that's just an assumption here. That's just like, yeah, you know, you get hurt, you go to the hospital. No big deal. What's the problem? In America, it's a huge dividing argument about who should pay for it, who shouldn't pay for it. It's crazy, man. But when, as far as the vibe of society out here and being progressive, like, you know, I'm, like I said, like, I never, you know, I never really had any idea about Sweden until I really got here. You know, I've been here 5-6 years now, and I could still understand maybe half to three quarters of what people are saying, you know, now and then. And it's, but when it comes to, like, surviving, going to work, getting on a train, you know, buying food, interacting with people, it's not much different than anywhere in the world, you know, as far as, like, developed world. But there are things you definitely notice, things that, you know, I feel like the vibe of taking care of people is up higher on the list of priorities than it was in the U.S. And who knows if it'll ever be at this point going forward. People use that socialist word as like that evil. What do you want to end up like, Sweden? You know, well, last time I checked, Sweden's not falling down like a house of cards, and we're not, you know, society hasn't crumbled here. It's been like this for a long time. You know, people can argue that, but maybe people should just take a trip out of here and see what it's all about. See for themselves.
You mentioned growing up on Long Island. And in I did not grow up in New York. I've been there, like, once. So I can't speak from my own experience. But, I mean, we all see enough of New York in media, in movies, and TV. And we hear all about it, especially in school and history classes, things like that. There's some, you know, it's a huge city. And there's some very rich parts of New York. But at the same time, there's also some very poor parts of that city as well. Have you seen that in Sweden, in Stockholm? Are there still, like, some, you know, really low-income places, like in New York City?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's anywhere you go. I mean, first time I ever went to Sao Paulo, Brazil, you're walking down a street by, like skyscraper condominiums, and one block over, you're literally walking through slums, people running up to cars trying to sell pieces of gum with eyeballs hanging out of their head and in absolute desperation. You know, growing up in New York, yeah, I mean, it's my dad's from the Bronx. You know, he didn't want me to grow up there. So after the war, and after he took his R&R and decided to get married and all, he moved out and bought a house on Long Island, which is about an hour removed from the craziness of the city. But now, where I am now, I gotta keep in mind, the whole country I live in right now has a population about the size of New York City, so that's just one city in America, trying to compare it to like a cross section of like an entire country here. But there is a huge divide here too. And I think the general mindset of people is here that I've noticed, who knows, I could be wrong. I could be an American just being totally deluded, but like there's people tend to live within their means more out here and accept it that way. It's like, man, why do I need to buy five cars if I take the subway to work every day, kind of thing, But at the same time, there's people who drive through the regulated and really crowded downtown streets of Stockholm in a Lamborghini, living in like multi-million-dollar apartments in a place where there's, people still living, having to basically survive on, social assistance. It's like that everywhere. I can't say that it's, oh, this is a great even place, but as far as like the general standards of living, there's people who tend to live within their means a lot more than when I see in the States, where there's definitely rich and poor, but people keep, they keep extending themselves a little too far from where I grew up. And out here, it's like I become a little bit more happy with just being satisfied with what I got and not trying to keep getting more and more. I'm rambling again, man. That's the rules when you give me the microphone for about
let's do this. We will balance out the time rambling with more time to hear First Blood. We had like quite the long segment there, so we'll go check out some more from the album Rules. Comes out February 10th. This next one is sort of meant to be the single, the quote single, insofar as they have those things in hardcore. It's Rules of Life on Metalix. I Dobie Howell. B-Lo with you on Metalix, and my guest Carl Schwartz from the band First Blood. Their album Rules comes out February 10th. We're listening to music on that, and Carl has taken some time, very kindly, might I add, to Skype in with me from Stockholm, Sweden. It is roughly as cold. Actually, I bet you it is colder in Stockholm than it is in Denver right now. I should look that up. Hey, something you should know too, fans listening to us on Metalix Monday nights, is this interview, we're actually recording it in the morning. This is probably the earliest I've ever interviewed anyone. I didn't even know that bands were like up before 8 a.m. Local time. So I learned something new today, but my brain doesn't work really quite as well first thing in the morning. Earlier, I was struggling to remember the name of H2O singer. That's Toby Morse, and his son Max is
Big Max.
Yeah. And so I thought that was kind of a cool parallel there between First Blood and H2O, having your kids on your album. But lots of rules for Wolfgang, your son. Lots of rules for his life too, right?
I mean, that song is like a reflection of me growing up and how I'd like to see that be a little different this time around, now that I got Wolfgang running around and, seeing the world with like fresh eyes, when we were recording the record, yeah, it's, we had people in the studio. Oh man, that whole intro, what are you doing? That's like, you're totally ripping off H2O. You're doing this and that. I'm like, you know what? I didn't care. I was like, my little dude was running around psyched to see a microphone, and that's what came out. And I'm like, all right, this is the intro. Here we go. I want my kid to be on it. I want him to like experience like this rush, this like release, you know, this joy of like creating music. And, you know, he was just turning 5 years old at the time. You know, I think he was 4 when we started recording. And when it came down to like, all right, well, I'm going to shout out his actual name in the song. It's like, I put it in the song where I kind of wrote it really as if I'm talking to him. Like when I was raised to like, you know, I heard some kind of frightening outlooks on life growing up from, you know, someone really close to me. But like looking back now, I understand like that, you know, how we're a product of just our, you know, the environment we grow up in and the just the situations we find ourselves in. And some people have to, you know, they deal with them good, and some people it's a struggle. So, but how it affected me is like I was kind of raised with this outlook on life that this is the way it is. You know, this is things you got to deal with, and you got to do it again and again and again, you know, until you die. Like that's life. You know, that scarred me for a while. So when I look back now and the decisions I made growing up to like kind of break free from that, how it like, you know, freed myself and my head in a way, it's like, I'd like to kind of break that cycle with Wolfgang and give him the chance, like, you know, instead of always like pulling them in different directions. Hey, you got to do this. 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 You know, like that obsessed parent who's like, you know, forcing their kid to go to baseball practice and running them to the ground. And the dude hates the sport. Like I'm going to push him to do the things that he wants to do growing up. I want to see what he's into, his dreams, his aspirations, his, you know, whatever passions grow up with him. That's the push I'd like to give him, you know, and teach him, Hey buddy, that's life. Okay. That's life. There's a whole world. Go see it. Follow your dreams. You know, that's the rules of life that I learned at a later age. I'd like to pass that down to you as soon as possible, buddy. So take it. Let's go. Wolfgang, this is for you. That's the rules of life. You just heard that song. And man, I'd like to just that sums up like the big shift in my head, you know, writing this new record is it's sure. I'm still cynical and pissed off about, you know, about politics and all the stuff going on and all the crazy injustice everywhere. But at the same time, I'm looking inward, and it's sort of like in a personal approach to be like, hey, this is what I've learned, and this is what I think a lot of kids can relate to this time around. You know, let's go for it this way. And so far, so good. I think people have appreciated, you know, that song, and it's struck a chord with them a lot, you know, with a lot more impact than me rambling about Donald Trump, this and that, Hillary Clinton. You know what I'm saying? B-Lo, take it away, man. I'm rambling again.
Yeah. Hey, man, I wouldn't connect with you over so many miles across an ocean just to cut you off when you have a passionate ramble like that about your kid. But that's great. I mean, there are certainly rules like everywhere that have changed the way we have all been raised and the way that we see the world. Let's talk about it on a First Blood level, though. What are the rules for being in First Blood?
The rules of being...
Yeah. What are the rules of the band?
Man, I have no idea. It's been so different from day one. I mean, it's hard to even call this a band, as far as, like, if you want to talk about the rules of a band. You got some guys together, you go to a practice spot, you know, eat some pizza, hang out on the weekends, play some show. I mean, it's... I guess we could have been called a band the first 3 months of our existence back in whatever it was, 2002. We actually got together and practiced and wrote songs. And, you know, now we all live in different countries. So it's like we fly into a tour and first show is our practice. You know, I write songs and send them off to the studio and they, you know, they mix them, and it's hard to explain what this band has become and what it is. It's, you know, it's mostly me putting stuff together and trying to, like, with whatever means I have at this point, to keep, you know, just to keep it rolling and try to keep a good message, you know, while still staying true to, like, the you know, the sound of the band and the vibe of the band. It's like, it's just a release. You know, for me, it's like something I've never wanted to give up ever since I started it and started touring and, you know, seeing the world and meeting kids and playing music, you know, and it's not an easy road. For sure, being in a band is not easy. You got to give up a lot of stuff, you know, and I've lost a lot of things along the way. But now that it's said and done and we got rules coming out right now, like, I guess the rules of the band are just, you know, just keep going. You know, if you like what you're doing, do it. If you don't, you know, try something else, you know. So that's where First Blood has gotten up to this point. You know, we tour mostly Europe and other parts of the world just because they're shorter tours. We can just fly in, fly out, doing that kind of thing. Like when we lived all in the States, man, I don't know how many times we've driven around the U.S., you know, in a van that's broken down who knows how many times, and, you know, sleeping at truck stops pretty much in every gas station in the U.S. You know, we were no stranger to Flying J and Pilot. I don't even know if they're still there anymore. It's been a while since we've toured out there, but I don't know, man. The rules are just exactly what I laid down in this new record. Just, it sounds kind of corny, but, you know, follow your heart and with what you want to do in life and roll with it. And the only way, if you fail doing it, then at least you tried, you know. But that's the kind of life I want to, you know, push with my kid, you know, and push with the band from this point on. It's just, you know, we got some opportunities to play live around the world and do some stuff and put out a new record on a new label, especially when I thought the band was done. You know, I didn't know if I could do it again, but we had some good people help us out, you know, and a good label we just signed to. So, you know, we're going to keep the show rolling.
Pure Noise Records, by the way. That's really cool.
Pure Noise. I'm psyched.
They are picking up so many bands lately, and it's awesome to see First Blood as part of that roster as well. You know, the other thing that's really cool to me about the development of First Blood, I guess, in this past 7 years or so that there wasn't any First Blood for us to hear, is that now with the internet, you guys can be all in different countries and the operation of the band can continue happening without all like living in the same place. So I assume when you're talking about sending in things to mix, you're doing your tracks, someone else is playing theirs. You got the guitar and the drums all coming in like separately and things like that. I'm guessing, but like in any case, it's possible to do that now, and that's how a lot of bands work. I still just think that's a cool thing about the internet, but I know that's commentary about things that have been going on for like the last 5 years in the music industry.
Oh yeah, things are changing, man. But I still meet bands, and it's a tight knit group of dudes, especially guys who've been together for like years and years. I got to admire that, because it's like being married to four or five different people for years and years and years. And, you know, you're not just about fighting over the dishes and your taxes. You're fighting about like music and songs and living arrangements. And like, you know, it's a crazy relationship being in a band. But the fact that these guys can still keep it together and stick together with each other, man, it's, you know, I admire that. That definitely hasn't been the case with First Blood, but, you know, we still keep it rolling thanks to the internet. Thanks to, you know, we can write songs and I can send them off to people and they learn them and they'd be like, I'm psyched, I want to do this. Or people are like, I don't really like this. I'd rather stay home or something. You know, it gives us that sort of flexibility, that freedom. But, if we didn't have a new label and some people close to us pushing it to help it, I don't even know if there would be a new record coming out. Cause like I said, the last record put us in a dark spot. Put me in a dark place. You know, I didn't feel like I had the energy to write another one, but, you know, some people helped us out. They said, hey, you got to get to the studio. There's no way you don't have any to write another record. What are you doing? That's it's a waste. So I kind of got pushed to do it. But at the same time, I was like, man, when I didn't believe in myself and people helped us out. And I got in the studio and locked myself in there for about a month over Christmas and New Year's. There was a big snowstorm in the East Coast. I don't know, it was the first blizzard in like 30 years where, they shut down all the roads and everything. It was like, it was terrible. But I was trapped inside a warehouse writing songs. As soon as I woke up, I had enough energy to shut the computer off. You know, finally it came together, and the guys in New Jersey, you know, Will Putney put it together and at his Graphic Nature studio, man. And he did a killer job. It just sounds killer. I couldn't be happier with it, man. And Pure Noise putting it out. I mean, those are dudes who who used to watch us play live back in the Bay Area, like in San Francisco and Berkeley, like when we first started the band. That was like 15 years ago. And these guys, you know, these guys worked hard and they put together, you know, they have one of the biggest labels for like underground music in like the entire world right now. It's crazy. So we're psyched to be part of that. We're psyched that people helped us out and you know, made the record sound killer, you know?
You mentioned, if it's like a personal thing, then that's cool. But you mentioned that someone pushed you to get this album out and to get back active with First Blood again. Can you tell me who the person or the people were who motivated you?
Oh, man. I mean, like my initial intention was to just, you know, where I work now, I work at youth centers in Sweden, and I had, you know, I got hired here to help with like the studio and practice rooms and help get the kids involved in music and recording and, you know, and songwriting. And I was just going to put together a record, you know, record it on my own and, you know, maybe send it out and maybe even self-release it. And it probably just would just be out there and kind of fizzle off. And that would have been it. You know, no labels, no promos, probably not many interviews and stuff. And then a good friend of mine who I toured with like a whole bunch over the years, you know, his name's Jesse. Kids listening probably heard of the band Stick to Your Guns. You know, he became like a good friend of the band. You know, I've always kept in touch with them, like on tour or not. If his band ever came to Stockholm, I'd always come out and see him play. And he finally started, you know, aside from his own band, he started his own label, his own sort of like management outfit, if that's what you want to call it, you know, where he helps bands get, you know, get in touch with labels and studios and stuff like that. And he basically made everything happen for this record as far as like the motivation. You know, he didn't sit down and write, you know, 15 songs and be like, all right, sing on this. Mm-hmm. He said, get on a plane, you're flying to New York, you're gonna sit in the studio until the record's done. And I was like, all right. You know, so I got there and I literally sat in a studio with a futon in the corner for like a month and a half, and just, I don't know, 12 hours a day, I'd wake up and just start writing and writing and writing and writing, you know. And then when I felt like, man, I can't do this, he's like, you're not leaving until it's done. You know, he pushed me. He's like, he saw that I had ideas, that I had a direction for a new album, but I just couldn't put it together on my own. You know, it was dealing with, you know, it's like I talk about my son and family life, and I love my kid. I love having him as much as I can out here, but it was a struggle in the beginning. You know, it's like just keeping the family together and working. And, you know, I separated from my wife and it was a huge stress on my life. So he was the kind of that push, like that hard ass coach that I had growing up who would make you train harder when you thought you wanted to quit. And he wouldn't let me, you know, he wouldn't let it down until it was done. He's set it up with the label. He pushed everything for me to stay in the studio and get those ideas out. I hear him when we talk, you talk about like you have ideas. Now let's get it done. And he's just got that quality. You know, he's one of the greatest dudes I know. He's like, you know, as far as like his personality, it's just the charisma. He just pushed me to do it. And, you know, it got me in the studio and I cranked it out. You know, I even wrote a song where I wanted him to sing on it too, just kind of like a tribute, like, thanks, man. Like, you kind of, you saved my life in a way as far as like keeping my head straight and keeping me involved with this. You know, I had already given up so much just to, you know, to keep a band on the road that, you know, thank you for giving us this last extra push to make sure I didn't just, you know, hang it up on the wall and get on with it. So, you know, Jesse was a huge push. And then, you know, people get the record, they'll hear him sing on a song in the middle. But without him, I wouldn't have had like the discipline or like the attention span to, you know, to sit with a guitar and try to write this whole record out. So, man, I'm getting emotional here, B-Lo.
Well, you know, if we can get to both your angry side and your emotional side in the same interview, then I think my job is done, and it's done before 8 a.m. local time, at least for the recording. So I'm gonna kick it for the rest of the day. Carl, you definitely deserve to as well. This record is excellent. Comes out February 10th. It's called Rules, and the band is First Blood. Carl Schwartz, thank you for all your time tonight.
Thank you so much, B-Lo. Take it easy.